This is episode 45 of All of My Issues. We had a little hiatus, had some family life event things going on, so we had to take a little hiatus. It took a little bit longer than we expected, but we're back. And this episode, we got some cool stuff lined up for the next few episodes. This episode in particular, though, we are going to talk about season one. This is part one of a three-part series. Season one of Rick and Morty. We're going to go over the episodes and talk about which ones we like the most. And there's a little bit of controversy about... we'll just wait and listen. You'll find out. You'll know when we get to it. All right. Without further ado, let's get started.
Chris.
All right, in today's episode, we're going to recap some of our favorite Rick and Morty episodes from season one.
Season one.
Well, not recap. We're going to recap all of them.
Yeah. We're just going to talk about them, give them a little rating. You know, it's one of our favorite shows.
Oh, man, this is going to be a great episode. Oh, man.
Jeez, Rick.
Oh, jeez. Jeez, Rick.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, because, I mean, really, every episode is great.
Yeah, there's no bad episodes.
There's no bad,
So. We're just going to go in order.
Yeah, I mean.
This is part one, where we talk to season one.
Part one, season one.
Or not. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll need to edit this.
You think so?
Probably.
Chop it up?
Chop it up.
We might just go off on tangents.
You're over here watching Interdimensional Cable, I think.
All right, so I guess we should probably start off with episode one.
Episode one.
Pilot, entitled the title is Pilot.
Pilot.
All right.
Oddly enough.
Man, I've seen so many shows that have the first episode called that.
Yeah, and I know.
And hardly any of them, except for Wings, even has a pilot in it.
That's what I was going to say. That's really weird.
Everyone loves Wings.
Wings is a pretty good show.
Wings is a pretty good show.
I haven't watched it since it was on, so I don't remember.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if it
was a different time, so I don't know if it was.
Yeah.
I always love Lowell for some reason.
Yeah.
I watched the sequel. It was really weird where.
There was a sequel to Wings?
Yeah, the one dude started staying at a hotel and tried to kill his wife and kid.
Oh, yeah. What was it?
I don't remember. The glowing or something.
Glowing, yeah. And sparkling.
Something like that.
Sparkling, that's a movie about vampires.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then I think it was a spinoff of that. Like, the cab driver was trying to solve mysteries or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a germophobic alien, I believe, hunted by Will Smith.
Yeah.
Yes. I guess that's all mixed up.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Ha-ha, getting jiggy with it.
Oh,
yes.
Na. Sorry.
Where the hell are we going?
I don't know. We're already off course. We just started.
We haven't even talked about Rick and Morty.
I know. All right. Episode one, pilot. What happens in this episode? We get to meet Rick and Morty for the first time.
Yes. So
we're introduced to them.
Right.
As a whole, what did you guys think about the first episode? It kind of sucked me in immediately.
Yeah, I enjoyed it right away.
Yeah, I did too. It wasn't what I expected.
What did you expect?
I don't know. I think my thoughts were, or my feelings towards it were, I didn't really have any. It was one of those things where, oh, this is on, I'm going to watch this. So I didn't really have any expectations, I guess.
This made more sense to me than Mr. Pickle, so I was fine. I was like, oh, okay. It's not
so
Mr.
Pickles. So you're saying Mr. Pickles is not the same caliber as Rick and Morty.
Mr. Pickles is messed up.
Yeah,
what the hell is Mr. Pickles?
You don't know who Mr. Pickles is? Oh, man.
That's my
podcast.
I feel
like I'm learning about Sam's love life or something here. I don't know what's going on.
It's a satanic dog that protects a little boy but causes mayhem and craziness in a small town.
Is this another like Adult Swim television?
It is. Oh, okay. Yeah.
See, I first watched Rick and Morty based on the fact that they put the first couple episodes up on YouTube. And I watched them based on a website that I frequent far too much. You might have read it at one point. But
ding!
Yeah, ding! It was on the front page saying how amazing the show was. And I watched it, and then I didn't watch it again forever. I thought it was good, but I didn't watch it again forever. I'd only seen two or three episodes, which I really, really enjoyed, but it just slipped my mind, and then I suddenly got caught up real quick.
I probably watched it towards the, the whole first season was out before I even watched it. And I watched the first episode, and I was homesick from work that day. I watched the entire season that day. And I was just like, yeah, this is great. And then shortly after that, season two came out, and I binged that whole season as well. Waited like everyone else did for season three. There you go.
Yeah,
I started watching sometime during season two, like where I caught up in full time in season two.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might have been when I think I probably was watching season one when season two was finishing up. I think same kind of situation.
Really. Yeah, right. It just kind of took over popular culture suddenly. And,
When Anthony Bourdain tweets about it.
Well, here's the thing. They talk a lot about its toxic fan base and the fact that, you know, people who like it sometimes give it too much credit and sometimes think they're smarter than what they are and everything like that. But I don't think you can judge the show based on the fans.
Yeah,
it's not fair to the show.
No, yeah.
I mean,
absolutely, yeah.
There's lots of Star Trek fans who are complete twat waffles. I just wanted to say twat waffles.
Twat waffles.
I'm saying that three times fast. Yeah.
They're terrible Star Wars fans. They're terrible fans of everything.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it doesn't take away from
The show itself.
The show itself is wonderful. So, I forget where I was going with that.
Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I see it. But I see there are a lot of people whose opinions I respect who I hear talking about how Rick and Morty is a genius show.
Yeah.
And I was a huge fan of Community, so. So the pilot.
Yeah.
Yes. I guess they were piloting a station.
Yes, Rick was.
So there's the pilot.
Yeah.
And he was, Rick was like piloting his life coming back to his daughter.
Missing
so long, so he's trying to navigate.
Well, I'm not going to lie. The pilot I enjoyed very much, but I don't think it was full-on Rick and Morty yet. It wasn't.
No, it was still kind of finding its.
It wasn't nearly as good as the stuff that came later.
Exactly.
It was infinitely different, and I will go as far as to say better than Doc and Marty.
The short.
Yeah.
The
short that gave birth to Rick and Morty. Have you seen?
I think I have seen it.
Where the proto Rick is basically keeps telling that in order to go back in time, Morty's going to have to lick his balls. It's terrible. It's funny, but it's raunchy.
What?
Yeah. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the episode. Maybe the so they're going for a ride in a flying car.
Got it.
Yeah.
Rick is talking about setting off a neutrino bomb to wipe out all life on Earth.
I remember that being funny. And he's drunk.
Exactly. Yeah, he's drunk. Exactly. And, you know.
It was a test.
Yeah, it was a test. That's right. That's right, Morty. You passed. Then they have breakfast with the family, and then Rick takes Morty to another dimension. Mm-hmm. To collect seeds from mega trees.
Yes. Yeah.
And then Morty agrees to hide one of the seeds, and the seeds are rather large.
Yes. Oh, jeez, Rick.
Yeah, oh, jeez.
I'm going to say that 400 times. I apologize in advance for the amount of times you're going to hear, oh, jeez, Rick. It's going to be numerous.
Like, you can play the drinking game.
That's right.
the Rick and Morty drinking game.
Yes. You can play the Chris Augies Rick
game. Augies.
Take a drink every time I say Augies.
Yep. You're going to get chocolate wasted.
Yeah.
So, yes, mega tree seeds, rather
you're
large.
You're going to get squanchy. Or Swifty.
I have, like Swifty better.
Swifty, yeah.
Yeah. But Morty agrees to hide these trees in his own rectum.
Yes.
After, you know, some convincing from Rick to get past intergalactic customs.
Yes.
But unfortunately, their cover is blown and they escape while engaging in a shootout with alien insects. Ultimately, the seeds briefly cause Morty to be highly intelligent, despite the fact that he missed a semester of school because he's been in adventures with Rick. This causes his parents to believe he is fine with his education, but this wastes the seeds. So Rick informs Morty that they need to go back and get more, while their after effects leave Morty writhing on the floor.
Yeah.
And that's how it
is. It did a good job, I think, introducing the characters, some of the intergalacticness. I'm sorry. I'm distracted by fluff coming out of a dog's mouth. Oh my gosh. But I did a good job of introducing the character. We might need to edit that too.
Now.
Yeah. It does a good job of introducing the characters and kind of Rick's sociopathicness, I guess you'd call it.
Yes. Because you can see where he's not really
fully caring about the rest of humanity.
Right.
Yes. Or his grandson.
Or his grandson.
Yeah.
And, you know, was it the long run of his? He just wanted to snort those things?
I think that's what
he
was saying.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen that one. So, but it's a good episode. One to five stars, Sam.
I give it a 4.
Rick.
I give it a 4, too. It's a good introduction. The characters aren't completely fleshed out yet,
Correct.
It basically laid a foundation that made me really interested in the show.
I give it 3.5.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Episode two.
The Deuce.
The Deuce, if you will.
And I will.
And you will. And the title of this episode, Lawnmower Dog. So, what happens in this episode? Rick gives Snuffles, the family dog, an intelligence-enhancing helmet. Care to comment on the intelligence-enhancing helmet?
I love this episode so much. I love the very beginning where you learn Jerry's place in the entire household compared to Rick.
Yeah.
Where Jerry's like, oh, you're so smart. Why don't you do something for the family? Give us something to make this dog smarter. And Rick's all sarcastic. He's like, oh, whatever am I going to do? Or whatever. Goes into the room and is gone. Like you hear a power drill and comes back 2 seconds later. He's like, oh, done. You know. But, of course, the best part of that whole episode. Where are my testicles, Summer?
Yes.
My testicles.
Where are they?
Snuggles. And then he breaks the mirror. That is my slave name. I wish to be called, was it Snowball?
Is it
Snowflake or Snowball? Because my fur is soft and white.
I like the whole mechanical suit. Kind of Ed 209-ish from RoboCop.
Oh, yeah.
So I like that.
And creating the dog army. Is that also the episode with Terry?
It is. Scary Terry.
Yeah.
The Freddy Krueger parody.
You can run, but you can't hide, bitch. Like, you know, my favorite part with him is whenever they're nice to him, he's like, aw, bitch.
Oh, man. So, yeah, this is another good episode. It's only episode two.
It's only episode two.
And still, it definitely seems like that the series as a whole is starting to take definite shape.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It shows us what the future of that series is going to be like.
That's it. This is the episode that won me over.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that
too. See, that's not me. I don't think I think this probably was my least favorite one.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, it was good, but
what didn't you like?
I guess
you don't know me.
It was just, I mean, it was like, okay, and like the Freddy Krueger parody was kind of like, I think I was still trying to get my feet grounded on what it is that they were doing. So I liked it, but it was not my favorite one. It's just,
gotcha. All right.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite of the season by far.
Yeah, it's not my favorite.
But it's, I like it a little bit better than the pilot.
See, yeah, I it's reverse for me. I liked the pilot a little more better than this one, but.
Oh, okay. So, rating, I guess we give it?
I would give it 4 stars.
Give it 4 stars?
3.
I would give it 4 as well. Okay. I think it's equally as good as the pilot, but not, I don't think it's superior. But
I liked it a little bit better. I laughed more during it.
Yeah.
Mostly due to the dog. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, episode 3.
The tray,
if you will. And the title of that episode, Anatomy Park. So in this episode, Rick sends Morty inside the body of a homeless man to save his life. Essentially, the whole episode is a series. It's a parody of a Fantastic Voyage.
That and Jurassic Park.
And Jurassic Park, yeah.
And Walt Disney World.
Exactly, because it's a giant theme park inside of the...
Pirates of the Pancreas.
The greatest ride ever. Right,
that is awesome.
This is actually the episode that won me over.
This is the episode where... It's on. Yeah, this gives you an idea of what the show is going to be.
Yes, yeah, that is for sure. That is for sure.
Over here in New York, we see the homeless guy's head.
Yeah.
that is a good episode. This is a good episode.
I don't have a ton to say about it other than John Oliver.
John Oliver is brilliant.
Yeah, he's really good at it.
You see this here more so than in the first two episodes, where every side character has a complete backstory that you don't know. And they continue that throughout the show, is they're introduced to people who have lived an entire life leading up to this. And they'll reference little things. They're like fully developed characters. Like, this is its own world, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I don't have a lot to say about it either, except it's pretty brilliant.
Like, what was the guy trying to steal? The Black Plague?
Yeah, that was a good episode.
John Oliver's like, wait a minute, I could have just pushed the auto pod. No, wait, come back. It's camera.
Oh, man.
Rating?
I'd give it a 4, I think.
I'm 4.5.
4.5?
Yeah,
I'd give it 4.
I'm 4.5.
Gotcha. All right. I guess that brings us to episode 4. M. Night Shyamalan Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
So in this episode, it's in the whole style of the episode, I guess, is M. Night Shyamalan-esque.
Yeah, everything's a twist.
It's a twist.
It's a twist. It's a twist.
So, and what happens in this episode, there's aliens that are attempting to steal Rick's recipe for concentrated dark matter.
Correct.
And the twist is... It's kind of like a
Inception.
Inception.
It's a simulation.
Yeah, inside of a simulation.
It's simulation.
Well, eventually it gets to that, yeah.
Well, yeah, we don't know that initially. But Rick kind of catches on immediately, at least to the first level of the simulation.
And they try their best to escape and think they do.
And nakedness.
And naked, yeah. Yes.
And Jerry, meanwhile, was accidentally taken and is having the greatest day of his life.
which is hilarious.
It is so sad. Like, this is his best day at work ever, and he goes home.
Everybody's
to
so, my man,
my man. And he goes home to have sex with his wife, who's not a real person,
not even close.
Yes. And it's like, and it's the best sex of his life. Like, everything's the best that he's ever had, and it's all.
It's all simulated.
It's all a simulated dream.
Yeah.
Also in this episode, we get a glimpse of how important Morty is to Rick.
Yeah, to some degree, That is true.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, oh, jeez. Because, we're going to say things about this. So there's going to be spoilers.
Well,
if you haven't seen it now.
Yeah, if you haven't watched the first season, I wonder why you'd be listening to this podcast.
Right.
Very true. But, like, at the end, we find out that it's not really Morty with them in one simulation because, they took Jerry instead. And.
That they had already. I thought they already simulated you, they already, like, got a copy of you or something like that. Or something.
Everything was a simulation. So all the way down to the final escape where he has Morty mix up the dark matter and then they just turn him off and it's just Rick.
Yeah.
And then Rick really ended up tricking the aliens anyways because it was a concoction that
would cause their ship to explode.
Exactly. Right. But then the episode kind of ends too, where drunk Rick is in there with Morty, talking to Morty while he's sleeping and everything. And he's like, "You're not a simulation, are you?" And he's like, "Holding a knife." So that kind of shows a little bit more of Rick too. That he's kind of he's got a darker side.
Yeah, he's pretty unhinged.
Yeah.
Rating.
I give it a 4.5.
Going four. Right. We have not been unified in ratings yet, but two of us are always the same.
I know.
Maybe I'll just mention the post-credit scene real quick. We talked about how it was Jerry's best day of his life.
Right.
But then the post-credit scene, he ends up getting fired from his job on a spot because the new advertising slogan that was in the simulation.
What was it, like Hungry for Apples or something?
It was something like that. It was some kind of Apple slogan. I forget what it was exactly, but
it's different than Got Milk.
Yeah, it's different than Got Milk. That's it, exactly. Exactly.
It's not the same thing.
Well, I guess we'll go on to episode 5. The title for that is Me Seeks and Destroy.
Look at me! I'm Mr. Macy!
Mr. Meeseeks! So.
Love this episode.
Great episode.
It is a good episode, definitely. So, in this episode, after killing deadly enemies in an alternate dimension, Morty complains that Rick's adventures are too dangerous. This leads them into a Jack and the Beanstalk type adventure. Oh, jeez. Where Morty is in charge. He decides to steal the giant's treasure and give it to the villagers. The giant dies by accident. Rick and Morty are judged for murder, but are ultimately acquitted. Eventually, King Jellybean attempts to rape Morty.
In the bathroom, that was so disturbing.
Yeah, that is. But Morty escapes. Rick wins money playing poker and gives it to the villagers. Later, Rick kills King Jellybean. Meanwhile, Beth, Summer, and Jerry use Rick's Meeseeks box to spawn Meeseeks, blue creatures that fulfill one request and then explode. Jerry summons one Meeseeks to help him improve his golf game and spends some time training to no avail. The Meeseeks summons more of them to help, resulting in an increasingly larger crowd of frustrated Meeseeks. They decide to kill Jerry, but given one last chance, he ultimately demonstrates that his skills actually have improved and the Meeseeks are happy to disappear. So that is...
It's a fantastic episode.
It is a fantastic episode.
It's getting weird. I should be dead by now. Meeseeks aren't supposed to live this long.
It hurts.
He roped me into this. Well, he roped me into this. Yeah, well, he roped me into this. When he's giving the speech and he just keeps throwing in look at me's. I'm tired, you know. We have... Wait. I think he should square his shoulders. Look at me. I'm Mr. Meeseeks.
I think the thing I like about this episode, it just kind of just shows almost like Jerry, like in his full, like, I mean,
nothing goes right for him.
Nothing goes right for him.
Well, you know, and you think about it, because they told him, don't make it, you know, something impossible or something too difficult because they're not gods. He asked for the simplest thing of all of them.
Yeah, right?
Take a stroke off my golf swing.
Yeah.
Because Summers was make me popular.
Make me popular.
Yeah, yeah.
And make me a complete woman, I believe, was... What's her name?
Beth.
Beth.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, I'm going simple. Take a stroke off my...
Yeah.
It's so good.
And in the middle of that, like, Jerry just quits. Like, you can't quit. I gotta do this. I'm dying here. Jerry quits, and then that's when they start multiplying.
I'm going to dinner.
Yeah, this is definitely a good episode. This is where it's, I think, is really hitting its stride, at least in my opinion. I give this one a 4.5.
Man. Ugh. I'm not gonna lie. Episode 5 gets a 5 for me.
Right?
Does it really?
Right. I thought we were all gonna agree on this one.
Oh, man.
I was like, seriously?
Of all three seasons, one of my favorites. It's not my favorite, but it's one of my favorites.
It is definitely one of my favorites too.
Right? It is my favorite, man. I'm just like. I thought for sure.
I mean, Mr. Meeseeks is two of my ringtones.
Yeah, that's true.
And Evil Morty. Actually, no, it's just one now. But an Evil Morty is one. And Wubba Lubba Dub Dub is one.
Wubba Lubba Dub Dub.
Yeah, I thought we were going to agree on this one.
Nope, just two of us.
Nope.
Yeah. All right, so I guess we'll move on. Well, the post-credit scene. Let's talk about that. Two villagers find a box of incriminating photographs belonging to King Jellybean, which they burn to preserve the king's legacy as a benevolent ruler.
Yeah, and while you're getting all of the mayhem of the Meeseeks, you're getting really a dark, dark...
Yeah, that is...
Almost getting raped in the bathroom is terrible.
It is terrible.
But you also see a couple things there. You see Rick... protecting Morty. And it shows that, unlike what you normally see there, it does show that Rick actually cares.
Yes, yeah.
And it sets up that every once in a while, Morty gets to use an adventure.
Yes. He gets to have an adventure. 1 out of 10 or whatever.
Yeah. Then he ends up with a card later, I believe.
Yeah. That is true. That is true, yeah. And that's the interesting thing, too. I think what that kind of episode kind of sets in place, too, that, like, just what you said there, that Rick does actually care about Morty.
Yeah.
You know, and cares about...
Which becomes very big later on.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right, episode 6. Rick Potion number 9. So in this episode, Morty's interested in going to dance at his school with his classmate, Jessica.
Okay.
So what does Morty ask Rick to do? Because, you know, Jessica's not really interested in Morty. He asks Rick to create a love potion. However, because Jessica has the flu, potion becomes airborne and goes haywire, causing not only her but the whole population of Earth to fall for Morty, save for the people that are related to him.
Mm-hmm.
Rick attempts to fix up an antidote, but he fails.
Mm-hmm.
Not once, but twice. And ultimately causes all humans affected by the love potion to turn into mutated monsters called Cronenbergs. Reference to the famous director of body horror films, David Cronenberg. Meanwhile, Jerry visits Beth in her workplace because he's concerned about her fidelity. And they find Summer later. Rick and Morty then migrate to another dimension where their duplicates die soon after successfully curing all of Earth, thus allowing Rick and Morty to assume their roles. This episode is pretty awesome, I think.
I enjoyed this episode a lot.
Yeah, just because I think even just the whole, you know, there's so much going on.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff, awesome stuff in the background.
Yeah.
It does some really good things. And, you know, they do it a little bit here and there throughout the show, have done it up to this point. But this is they reference a lot of sci-fi tropes in this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then just calling the mutated things Cronenbergs.
Cronenbergs, that's awesome.
Can we talk a little bit about the lyrics to the flu hating rap?
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
A little flu. Yo, you got to be aware about the flu up in the air. I'm going to get me a shot and make the flu go away. Flu hating rappers just rapping away. And it just keeps going. But MC Haps is voiced by Dan Harmon.
Oh, that's awesome.
But then after they get infected, the lyrics change to, I love Morty, and I hope Morty loves me. I'd love to wrap my arms around him and feel him inside me.
Oh, man. But yeah, this episode is... It flips everything around, I think, though, too, because it's that whole...
It's such a fun episode up until the end.
Yeah.
And that end... Is that the one where like Mazzy Star or something's playing at the end?
I think so, yeah.
And when they're burying themselves and it's just all dark.
It's so crazy. I don't think I've ever seen like another show that has done something like that.
No.
You know, where it's just like taking everything and just like, and just even like that whole ending sequence when they're burying their bodies, you know. Like, it looks like Morty's mind is, like, just completely blown.
Yeah.
Like, he's looking around, he's looking at his sister, he's looking at his parents.
But it's not his sister, his parents.
Exactly.
It's
just so, man, it's...
How about...
it's crazy.
How about Summer, Cronenberg, World Summer, like, acting out Jaws on the
Jaws,
TV?
Yes, oh, man, it's so crazy. It is so crazy.
All right, rating. Sam.
I give this a 4.
I was going to give it the 5. Yeah,
I go 4.5, so we cannot agree. I'm like
the reason why I give this one a 5 is because I think it just sets in motion so many things.
I'll give the ending a 5.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
I will give the ending a 5.
So you would give this one a 5, but you won't give the Mr. Missy a 5?
Well, the only reason why I give this a 5...
Screw you, Rick.
Like, seriously?
But see, like, where the Me Seeks episode is awesome, it's more of a standalone type of thing that's going on.
Okay.
This one sets things in motion that happen later.
This one is a game changer,
yeah.
I'll give you.
Yeah.
Okay.
A 4.5 star game changer.
Four and a half?
I'll give it 4.5.
We'll
have to agree to disagree, sir.
Yes, we will.
Mr. Meeseeks is 5.
Right, I'm like, we can't agree on Mr. Meeseeks. Like, seriously?
Like, sometimes that, Sam and I disagree on things.
That was like a slam dunk.
Yeah. Like, this is... you know, just talking right now, I'm starting to like Shawshank Redemption a little bit less. Because I totally understand where he's coming from now.
Oh, man. I was trying to save my 5 for number 6, or episode 6, but yeah.
Yeah, well, how'd that work out for you?
Yeah. Well, here, the post-credit scene. Let's talk about that real quick. Jerry, Beth, and Summer are happy to stay together as the only normal human family in their post-apocalyptic mutated world. Glad that Rick and Morty are gone. That's let's talk a little bit about that. That's that, like we talked about,
a little dark.
The Jaws thing. And they're happy that, yeah, and I don't think we at any point in time do you see Jerry and Beth that happy together, which is kind of weird.
Yeah,
you know,
like,
but yeah, because Jerry, like, he, like, you know,
yeah, he goes to protect her,
yeah.
He becomes like the hero,
exactly, yeah.
Did. It's like, I understand, you know, being happy that Rick's gone, but you're happy that your son's gone too.
Yeah, I don't know if they're necessarily. I mean,
if you fast forward to the next another episode, and it kind of.
But then there's also the two Cronenberg versions of Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Go into that whole Cronenberg world. To live there.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good episode. So, all right, I guess we'll go on to episode 7.
Yeah, you're not convincing us. Go on.
Raising Gazorpazorp.
All right.
Yeah. I was just waiting. This, you know,
I mean, if you want to make initial things, the very beginning where they're at a shop and... there's what is clearly a sex doll.
Yes, yes.
So yeah. Like a cybernetic looking sex doll.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, Morty's right away. He's
Can we take this?
Hey, what about this? Can we get this? and finally, and Rick's like, yeah, how much for the sex doll? Yeah, whatever. whatever. But when they cut back to like the kitchen table or whatever, and now you're hearing it. And it stops for a second. He comes running down, grabs some oysters, drinks it, and goes right back up.
So, oh, God. Yeah. So, yeah. This episode is... It's pretty... pretty messed up, but hilarious nonetheless.
The giant reference to Zardoz, though.
Oh. that is true. Yeah, there is... Yeah. So, just a synopsis real quick. Rick buys Morty's sex robot in a space pawn shop. And, you know, talked about the sex that Morty was having with the robot. But what we didn't talk about, I guess, is the alien hybrid child.
Yeah, the sex robot is used by the citizens of Gazorpazorp so that they can procreate.
Yeah. So we have Morty Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, jeez.
And you learn that the female Gazorpians, Gazorpians, are the dominant gender on the planet. And that the males of the species mature in only days and are by nature extremely violent. Morty Jr.'s quick aging teaches Morty about parenting.
It's a funny episode. It's nowhere near my favorite.
Yeah, it's not my favorite either. I like seeing Gazorpazorp, though.
I like the sex robot at the beginning. I thought that was funny.
That's pretty hilarious. Crossing some boundaries there. Pushing the envelope.
I'll tell you, I didn't like this episode as much because, like, Summer and Rick go and are talking to the female Gazorpazorps and everything, and a lot of that just becomes kind of, like, weird female-based humor that's not all that funny, just more stereotypical.
Oh, yeah.
Though there is some fart humor in there that I do enjoy.
I'll give you that.
This was reboot.
So, I guess I'll go over the post-credits scene. Morty Jr. goes to a talk show to talk about a book he wrote called My Horrible Father, which has become very successful.
Okay.
So, I guess what are we gonna rate? I'm gonna give it a 4. You know what? No, I'm gonna lower. I'm gonna give it a 3. Because I don't like it as much as the other episodes we've seen so far.
It's nowhere. Yeah, I'll give it a 3. That's probably as low as I will go on any Rick and Morty episode.
Yeah,
I'm gonna give it a 3 also because I can't even remember it.
It's it's funny and it's good and it's better than most things I watch.
Oh yeah.
But it's not
on a Rick and Morty scale.
Yeah,
we're talking about
right.
Yeah,
that's a shame that we agreed on the probably the only episode that we're like,
yeah,
but we can't agree on Meeseek.
Right, dude. I'm still kind of upset about that.
Because one of us is wrong. This is subjective.
Totally subjective.
Except that you are objectively wrong.
All right. Moving on. Episode 8. 60 Minutes. As the family watches The Bachelor, Rick is dissatisfied with the quality of Earth TV, so he upgrades the cable to show programming from every conceivable dimension.
Okay.
Eventually, they see Jerry from an alternative reality on TV. The family, minus Rick and Morty, uses Rick's goggles to see through the eyes of their duplicates in that alternate reality where Jerry and Beth have successful lives, but they never marry, and Summer was never born because Beth had an abortion. Jerry, Beth, and Summer have a heated discussion in which...
I just love the fact that Summer keeps looking through the glasses and seeing nothing so many times.
Oh, I know. It's so...
yeah. You're the nothing.
Oh, man. So they
betrayal!
Yeah. So eventually it's found out that Beth admits that Summer was an unwanted pregnancy. Summer feels unwanted and plans to run away. But Morty tells her that he and Rick themselves came from an alternate dimension, as depicted in the Rick Potion number 9, and persuades her to stay. Ultimately, Beth and Jerry discover that their alternate selves are miserable in their own ways and witness them getting back together, which convinces them that they belong together too.
I see.
So, even though they seem to have successful lives, they weren't happy in that alternate reality. But they're happier together.
But let's talk about the true star of the show. And that's Interdimensional Cable.
Interdimensional Cable, yes.
It's fun when you watch it because you can tell how it's created. You can tell that they just give Justin a title and let him go and just record him.
Whatever.
Dance in My Eyes Johnson. Got the lowest price. I can't see how low my prices are. Yeah, it's just great.
It is
the
great.
Baby legs.
Wow.
Ball fondlers.
Yeah, that's right.
Bad thing is that I get the 2-interdimensional cable. Like, since they're not related to the overall plot,
yeah,
I get
like little shorts.
Mixed up a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that. Such a successful episode, though, that they had to revisit
interdimensional cable. I would imagine that's probably the most fun to record.
It probably is, yeah. I would imagine. So on the post-credit scene, the family goes on vacation into an alternate reality where hamsters live in human rectums that they saw in the interdimensional TV.
Yeah, it's like they're piloting around butts.
Oh, yep. Wow.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where allegedly
Richard Gere? Yeah.
Yeah. Perhaps. Right. Oh my. So yeah, what do you guys think about this episode?
That's good. Interdimensional Cable's great. It's not my favorite. It's good. I cared more about the Interdimensional Cable bits than I did the B plot of watching Beth and
them
and Jerry.
Yeah.
You kind of knew where it was going, and
I'd agree with that.
There were some good one-offs and whatnot, but it's like one of the least memorable episodes except for
the Interdimensional Cable.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that.
Sure.
So I'm I'm gonna give it like a 4.
Yeah, the intermeshable. I say the intermeshable cable brings it to a 4 to me.
Yeah,
4. It would have been closer to 3 based on the other plot, but the intermeshable cable.
Yeah, so. That shoots it up. Yeah, I believe it. I agree. All right, episode 9. Something Wicked This Way Comes.
All right.
And this episode, what is this? This is basically...
Needful Things.
Needful Things, exactly. I just think that's such an awesome idea for an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Totally pulling that in. And then I think the thing that's great about it, though, is just how Rick just does everything to just throw a monkey wrench into the devil's plans. Mm-hmm. I just love that. It's just...
I just love that...
Does it just in spite, just to spite him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love
he that. Gives him the microscope or whatever that you look in and it would make you stupid. And
yeah.
Instead,
yeah.
Rick opens up a shop on the other side.
Yeah.
That just takes away the curse.
Yeah.
And then the best is as soon as the devil realizes what's going on, that he's out of business. Yeah. And he just closes up shop. And Rick's like, well, we're done here. Pours gasoline over everything and burns it down.
Yeah.
I like the fact that Summer sided with the devil over Rick.
Yes, that's also awesome. Running with the devil.
I like that the devil dresses like Steve Jobs afterwards.
Yes. Oh, man. So, yes.
And then it's another... amazing guest star.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So,
I don't have a ton to say about it. It was just a really good episode.
Yeah, it was a really good episode. Post-credit scene, Rick and Summer merrily beat a neo-Nazi, a bully, a member of the Westboro Baptist Church, who's been holding an anti-gay
sign. Oh, they steroid up. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that, too. And an abusive dog owner. That's pretty awesome ending too, post-credit scene too.
Mm-hmm.
All in all, I really like that episode too. I think I give that. I would give it a, like 4.5 because I like it. I like the whole.
I might go 4.5. I'm kind of stuck between 4 and 4.5 on that. Probably 4.5 based on the other things that I've said. It's 4. Here comes Sam with his 3.
I give it 3.5.
3.5?
Yeah.
I would have expected Rick to give it the lower rating based on the fact that they beat up a Nazi, but hey, whatever.
Oh, my.
That's why they got this 0.5.
But it's a neo-Nazi. So it's, okay, episode 10.
He's trying to find a different...
Oh, yeah. I only like the old school ones.
Right? The classic.
They knew what was up.
Oh, my goodness. I'm like, wait. There's a big difference.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know this? We got Rick as a hipster Nazi. I preferred the Nazis before they were popular.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, my.
He's gonna come up with a country song called "I Was Nazi" when Nazi wasn't cool.
This is.
Oh my!
She thinks my blitzkrieg is sexy.
You guys can have a duet where he's like, "I'm a little bit Nazi and I'm a little bit rock and roll."
Oh, my. Okay.
Ebony and neo-Nazi.
Somebody really needs to write that. That is awesome.
Oh man.
How has that never been made? I don't understand. That's, man. Ebony and neo-Nazi.
Rock the Kaiser.
I'm sorry, this is going to devolve into just us making up song parodies involving you.
Oh, my. Okay, episode 10.
Actually, no, we're not done yet. Hold on, we got to figure this out. Well, not yet, but we will.
Okay.
Let's see. No, okay.
All right. So, episode 10. close Rick counters of the Rick kind. So, the show's original Rick is wrongfully accused. This is kind of where they have all the transdimensional council
Ricks. The Citadel of Ricks.
The Citadel of Ricks. That brought it back.
Yes. So, in this episode, Rick is wrongfully accused of murdering 27 Ricks from alternate dimensions and kidnapping their respective Mortys. So the Council Ricks find him guilty, and they find, because they find incriminating evidence, which was actually fabricated to frame him. Rick and Morty escape and are chased by a few duplicates of themselves. The Smith household is flooded with other Ricks and Jerry. And that, yes, I forgot, the good-natured doofus Rick.
Yeah. Oh, that was amazing.
Which is awesome. You're my Rick.
Can they bond?
Yeah.
Building things together. Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
And he's got that awful hair, Amish haircut.
Yeah. You're my Rick. Oh, man.
If any Amish are listening, I'm sorry. Yeah. You're probably not.
Yeah, they're probably not. Oh, man. So, yeah, they've been using Morty's low-intelligence brainwaves as a way to conceal themselves. That's the real evil Rick and his Morty. But we find out that, really, it was evil Morty all along,
mm-hmm.
as the puppet master of the evil Rick. And in the end, the evil Morty escapes by blending into the crowd of orphaned Mortys.
Mm-hmm.
On the post-credit scene, Jerry waves at Doofus Rick from the window, prompting Rick to make fun of him.
Yes.
Wait, did you actually befriend that?
So good.
Oh, that was a good episode.
That was a good episode.
I loved the idea of there just being an army of Ricks that police each other.
Yes.
I love the fact that our, you know, C-137 Rick is clearly the smartest of all of them, and he's able to get away.
The Rickest of all Ricks.
Yes, which means he must be with the Mortiest of all Mortys, right?
Right.
I love the idea of an evil Morty.
Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah.
All the naked Mortys up against the thing being constantly tortured and in pain.
Yeah.
It's so disturbing.
It's so messed up.
And that messed up noise that was coming from it. I love this episode.
Yes.
Even the really weird, cool music that is associated with Evil Morty.
Yeah.
As he takes his eye patch off and you see that he was the one in control. This... 5 stars.
5 stars. Just because it is definitely one of those episodes that's building up other things.
Yeah.
Well, it introduces the Council of Ricks.
It creates things into canon that are going to, I think, affect the entire series.
Yeah.
As we've seen in season 3.
Definitely, yeah. I'd give it a 5, too. Especially with the Doofus Rick. Is awesome too, and the bonding with him and Jerry, and just everything about it.
There's no bad part of this episode. There's no part that I was looking forward to one part ending so I could watch more of the other because I was enjoying both.
That is true. And you can't say that with every episode.
No, you can't.
I'll give it a five.
Oh man,
we have a consensus.
We've agreed on something.
Yeah, because it sets the pace for the rest of the seasons.
Yeah,
that's coming up, and you're like, oh, this is, you know, you get to see the whole Council of Ricks. It's like, oh, that.
It shows that the show can be so much more.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think really, like, you know, all these other things that happened up until then, we didn't even realize, like, how much more
mm-hmm.
the show was going to be, really.
Right.
Like, you know.
Wild conjecture again. But I love the idea, thinking that this might not be our Rick's Morty.
Yes.
That evil Morty might be our Rick's Morty.
Yeah. I like that.
Because if you have the Rickest Rick, you must have the Mortiest Morty.
That's right. And it does seem to be.
So
a lot
of that. Is Evil Morty the Mortius of Mortys?
Possibly.
All of the pre credits have come into play later. The only thing we haven't seen yet are a couple. One of them is that big Cthulhu looking flying monster.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen the one where Rick is running and he puts a portal down and jumps through and leaves Morty behind.
Right.
So a prevalent theory right now is that he might have left a Morty behind that survived and now wants to eradicate all the Ricks, which I could get behind.
Yeah.
But also would explain why might have been in this episode where they were showing happy memories.
Oh, yeah.
Or was that a later?
I think that's a later.
That's when it was the police.
Yeah, I think so.
They were showing happy memories in his head, and it showed him picking up a baby Morty. He was gone for 20 years from their lives. He shouldn't have been able to pick up a baby Morty.
Yeah.
So the theory is that Rick came back to another world where that Rick was dead or something.
Possibly.
Yeah. And we know just from previous episodes, like Rick Potion number 9, that they have done that. They've gone to other dimensions where other Ricks and Mortys have died and taken their place.
Right.
But the very fact we can have this conversation about a 22-minute show that makes constant, like, fart jokes.
Yeah.
Is amazing. That's what
That is very true. Yeah. So you can have it all. Fart jokes and intellectual commentary about a television show.
The Rick Cornelio!
So the second show that you can have conversations about.
Shut up, bunghole.
Fire.
Thank you for my bunghole.
For those of you kids don't know, you may need to YouTube that.
Yes, yes. Yeah, kids probably don't know that today.
No, they don't.
I always just wanted to hear them making fun of videos. Like, I hardly ever wanted to watch the actual show part of it. I just wanted to see the videos.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's more memorable than actual show. Yeah. I can probably reference things they've said about music videos more so than I can.
I just remember, I was like, I forget who it was, like Carmen Electra or someone doing a song called Get On Up. I'm already up. Just, I don't know. Who's this dillweed? You know,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, Doria.
I mean, the one I probably remember the most is Cornholio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I need TV for my bunghole. Cappuccino.
Get some.
Love it. All right. Episode 11. The final episode.
This season goes to 11.
The episode title, Rixie Business.
All right.
I can't wait till we get to the Rick Shank Redemption on this follow-up episode.
Yeah, that's right. Jerry and Beth participate in a reenactment of Titanic, but the ship unexpectedly fails to sink. Jerry spends some time alone with Lucy, a female janitor, who eventually proves to be a deranged fan of the movie, forcing him to imitate scenes with her at gunpoint. She almost rapes Jerry, but Beth saves him. Meanwhile, Rick is left in charge of Morty and Summer, but they have They have a large party with teenagers, aliens, alternate Ricks, and Aberdolf Linkler.
Yes.
Yes.
Squanchy.
Squanchy's there. Bird Person.
Yes.
Love Bird Person.
The Gear Dude.
The Gear Dude, yes. Constantly talk about the Gear Wars.
The Gear Wars.
Yeah. So awesome.
What do you know about the Gear Wars?
Well, let me tell you about the Gear
Wars. I don't know much. Oh, are you in for a treat?
Oh, man.
Oh, jeez, Rick.
What the Gear Wars? So, like most parties, you know, the house is a mess. But not only is it a mess, but it's also accidentally sent to another dimension, where Linkler seemingly dies. He actually survives. Ultimately, the guests are sent away and the house is returned to its place. Rick, Morty, and Summer only have minutes to spare before Beth and Jerry arrive back. So, what do? I mean, they freeze time. And then it gives them time to repair the house.
All of which you'll see next season.
Exactly.
So stay tuned for episode 2.
That's right.
All of My Issues discusses Rick and Morty.
That's right. But also, the one thing they do is they all watch Titanic and unanimously agree on how terrible it is.
I can get behind that.
I can get behind that as well. Post-credit scene, giant alien beasts repeatedly insert and remove Linkler and a teenager from the party in their bodies.
Yeah, it's very weird.
It's very weird.
Read that last one again.
Giant alien beasts repeatedly insert and remove Linkler and a
from like these holes in their stomachs.
Okay, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Linkler.
Abradolph Linkler.
Do you like that character, did you?
He's the embodiment of Adolf Hitler and Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, I was asking you, Rick, if you liked him.
Yeah. What is there not to like?
Probably the Lincoln part of him for you.
Oh, I did.
Sam and I
were... boots are made for the Vikings.
Yes, the Vikings. For goose steppings.
Oh, and this is where Rick sends him out to get those pods or whatever, and so Abradolph Linkler dies getting the pods, and it was just so that he could snort the stuff and dance.
That's right. Oh man, this is a pretty good episode.
It's a good episode.
It's a good season finale. Bird Person.
Bird Person's good.
Yeah, I give it a 4 or 5.
Yeah, I think 4.5.
Yeah, 4.5.
Oh man, see, we're coming together at the end.
That's right.
That would have been 3 episodes if Rick didn't have his head up his ass.
Oh, man!
I need a Meeseeks box just to convince Rick that...
Yeah.
The Meeseeks episode is the best. You guys gave it a 5, right?
Meeseeks was five.
We were right. I'm telling you. I think the internet is going to agree with us.
They probably because I do know that's a pretty fan favorite episode.
Yeah,
there's Meeseeks has never really made a reappearance either.
No, they
didn't need to.
They don't need to.
One and done.
That's right.
How do you mess with perfection?
You can't do that. That's probably true.
That is 100%.
Maybe I need to go back and review that episode.
Maybe you need to square your shoulders.
Yeah.
Sit down. Keep your eye on the screen. Relax.
And watch Meeseeks and Destroy.
Yes.
I'm Mr. Meeseeks.
All right.
Look at me.
So that's, I guess that's our recap of season 1 of Rick and Morty.
There it is.
Overall season 1 through 5 stars. What would you give the overall season?
Overall season, I'm going to say 4. I'm going to say 4.
As a whole, I would give it like a 4.5 just because I think as a whole, the whole season...
Mm-hmm.
Makes every episode better, I think, because of the interconnectedness of the episodes. Because it adds a dimension to the show to where
if I was writing,
you don't think it would really have that as it's not as complex. It's more complex than you would probably initially.
If I had not seen 2 or 3,
oh yeah, can't do.
Someone just texted me.
that's perfect.
if I'd never seen seasons 2 or 3, I would give it 4.5 stars. But having seen seasons 2 and 3, I'm going to give it 4 stars.
Alright. Can do.
Ooh, yeah.
Alright, I guess that is our episode.
Yeah,
do we have anything else we want to talk about, or that's it, right?
Yeah, you know, tell us what you think. Tell us how you would rank the episodes. Tell us how wrong Rick is about episode number 5.
Or get behind the internet. I don't know. That's I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No. So yeah, check us out on our webpage, allmyissue.com.
Yep, Facebook at All My Issues, on the Twitter at All of My Issues.
And follow us on Patreon, all that kind of business. If you like what we're doing, let us know.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. If you hate Nazis as much as Sam and I, support us on Patreon.
That's right.
If you love Nazis as much as Rick, support us on Patreon.
It's a win-win. Look, we're coming together.
Thanks for listening.
See ya.
Bye.